Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
And welcome, everybody, to today's exciting episode.
Et bonjour, mon ami. Would you like the escargot or would you like the mange de peas?
I would like the chowder.
Chowder.
The chowder.
Chowder. That's my French accent.
It's very good. I think that was more of a French-Canadian accent.
I do not know what you mean, Palette. I'm clearly French, from Paris.
From Paris. Yeah.
Baguettes.
Would you like some brie?
Some frog legs.
Oh, no, it's taking it too far.
What are you, frog legs?
Well, some of them do.
It is a French dish.
It is a French
Just
dish.
Just like escargot.
Yeah. But then, like, you could say that, like, hamburgers are American, but, you know, some of them are vegans.
Oh, screw the vegans. I'm not getting into a conversation about vegans again.
No, no, let's just not go there.
But I will say, statistically, they have seen a drop in veganism because people are actually getting ill.
What, from veganism?
Long-term vegans are starting to have their bodies fall apart because they're not getting the nutrients and the certain proteins and things.
Yeah, and like fishy oils and stuff like that, yeah. I would imagine. Yeah, vitamin like B12 and, you know, all that sort of thing. Yeah, because like, well, one of my ex-girlfriends, she wasn't necessarily vegan, she was vegetarian, but she had to be very careful and like take supplements and stuff like that to make sure that she had like essential oils and that sort of thing going into her diet, because, yeah, it just wasn't present in just eating cheese. So that was, you know, sort of the only protein she got.
Right? Yeah. I get it, though. Like, some people, like my auntie Christine, she has like a 80% vegan diet because it's like medical conditions. Because she's like a cancer survivor and stuff. So she's got certain allergies and things that she now can't eat. So she has to have like an 80% vegan diet.
Oh,
so some people, I do get it. But if you're one of those people that's vegan and you're pushing it into people's faces, I can't be bothered with it.
I get people like who just don't like meat.
Yeah, that's fair.
Fair enough. Yeah, eat what you like, eat what you don't like. Well, don't eat what you don't like, but yeah, for people who are like, oh, save the animals and stuff like that, well, sorry, but 90% of those animals wouldn't be alive if we weren't farming them.
And you actually kill a lot of animals making your sweet tofu. So
yes. and 50% of the farmland on Earth is unsuitable for arable farming. It's only suitable for livestock.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
So take your tofu and eat it.
And recognise that you have canine teeth and use them for something.
Yes. Are your canine teeth the same as your vampire teeth?
Basically, yeah.
Nice.
Except if you're a vampire, they grow extra long when you get excited, don't they?
Yeah.
Or at least they do on all the popular movies.
Lost Boys?
Something that confuses me, actually, because, like, back in the day, vampires used to just have big teeth.
Yeah.
And then with the, like, the advent of, what's it called, Midnight? Twilight?
Yes.
You know, but these other popular movies. Yeah, even the Lost Boys, I think, you know, their teeth sort of with normal human teeth until they turned into vampire mode, yeah. And then, and like I don't remember that being a thing, like in any like historical vampire story or book or anything. You know, the vampires were just vampires; they were just evil. I'm going to suck your blood.
Yes,
you know, they didn't have retractable teeth.
Unfortunately, Twilight ruined vampires for everyone.
Yeah,
they instantly weren't creepy, scary, evil. They were. No. Bit of a joke, to be honest.
Yeah. But I think Hollywood's kind of been doing that over the last few decades, to be honest. Slowly but surely, vampires have become more heroic and rather than the actual scare factor.
Yeah, yeah. Very
bit
true.
Bit of a shame. Bit of a shame.
Yeah. What have we got on today?
Today, well, to start with, today, we hope that there hasn't been any interruption in our normal schedule. We say we hope that because we haven't actually activated any changes yet, but from around about the start of December we are changing podcast provider.
We've
had some disagreements with our podcast provider, and we've decided to change the color of our shirt, shall we say. And that will be coming into it. It has come into effect from the start of December by the time this episode goes out, because we're currently recording this about halfway through November. We haven't made the changes yet, but we are going to. We're just hoping that it doesn't disrupt anything and that people can still find our back catalogue of episodes. I'm assured that they should all be, it should all transfer over, and there should be seamless, absolutely seamless transfer to our new podcast provider. But in case there is any disruption, we apologise. And we blame the other guys. We're not going to name names or any reasons or anything like that. If you want us to have a rant about that, then sign up to our Patreon and we'll quite happily rant about that on a private channel that only certain people can hear. And speaking of Patreon, our episode today was recommended to us, was suggested to us by, we've mentioned it before, Keith Egerton, one of our Patreons. And it is just a reminder, if you want to suggest an episode, feel free to do that. If you are one of our episodes, you can bet your lamb's left nostril we are going to do it.
I like that phrase.
It just rolls off the tongue nicely, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so that then Keith suggested that we cover a house called The Cage.
Oh, Birdcage.
Just The Cage. The Cage.
Nicholas
Cage. The most haunted house in Essex.
Is it?
Supposedly.
Okay. The Essex Cage.
The Cage. Let me set the scene for you. St. Osyth is a quaint little seaside town. Just a little village. Okay. Nice little English village. Nice country houses, you know, little cottages. And, you know, next to the sea. So it's in a nice area. It's quite sort of an area of outstanding natural beauty, I think people would call it.
Ooh, what a sentence.
Yeah. Very okay. Nice area to live. What's it called when they were? It's a much wanted place to live. Very desirable, highly desirable.
Yes,
the house prices are quite up there. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they fetch a few quid.
That's expected with seaside housing.
It kind of is, isn't it? Yeah, and I, at least in the case of this one, I think most seaside towns like to have like brightly coloured houses, don't they?
Oh, they do.
All bright blues and pinks and yellows, and you know, try and make it look as colourful and as inviting as possible. So, who would think?
I wish they'd do that at Yarmouth.
Yarmouth is the exception, isn't it?
That needs a lick of paint, bless it.
Needs a lick of something else, I think.
Yeah.
Dynamite. But yeah, who would think in such a lovely little quaint seaside town would house the most haunted house in Essex? And Essex, for those of you who don't live in the UK or in the south of England, Essex is a county
Yeah.
Just to the northeast of London. Mm-hmm. Part of it, I think, is inside of the M25, isn't it? So it's kind of classed as Greater London area.
Yeah.
It extends out to the coast. You know, it's got quite a variation in Essex, isn't there? And
do you want to hear my impression of every single episode of The Only Way is Essex?
Go on then, why not?
You all right? Yeah, you. Yeah, I'm all right. You all right? Yeah, you. Yeah. Literally every episode.
that's
every
good.
Episode. Whenever there's two people that meet, that's what they say.
That is pretty good. I'll tell you what. When we get your soundboard up and running, we'll have an applaud. Yeah. For that, because that was
That is pretty accurate. They all talk a bit like that.
They do. Yeah. Anyway.
Yes.
The cage. Now the cage was originally just a small, single-story building, and it was originally used as... The reason why it's called The Cage
is because
it was used as a lock-up for drunken delinquents at the weekend and stuff like this. This is a long, long time ago.
Like a jail?
Like a jail, yeah. Old-school jail.
Wait, is this like a serious jail, or is it literally just a, you've been a bit drunk and naughty, you better go in here for 24 hours?
I think... I think back in the day, any jail was quite serious, wasn't it? Yeah, and this is a very old building.
Okay.
Okay, so it started its life in the 16th century,
mm-hmm.
which is the 1500s.
Yes, yes.
Okay, I know you always get confused with that.
Because it's 100 years difference, isn't it?
Yeah. So it started in the 16th century, and... The 16th to the 18th century was well known for what? Let me hide.
16th to 18th century.
What was that well known for in terms of jails?
Medieval times.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent answer. So the 16th to 18th century was the height and the era of the witch trials.
Of course. Yes.
And the witch trials are what kind of made this particular building famous.
Was it actually medieval times?
Yeah. Well, no, medieval's a bit earlier than that.
Yeah.
More sort of like, you know, the...
What was in between medieval and Victorian?
Pretty much the rest of history. Medieval is like old school castles, like, you know, the Knights of the Realm and stuff. You know, we're talking anything from like the 5th century to the 10th or 12th century.
Oh, I'm not very good at
that's
history,
medieval,
apparently.
I think. Historians, correct me on that if I'm wrong. But yeah, that's the kind of, yeah, like 1,000 years AD.
Oh, I always thought it was 1500s.
I think. No, that's more the industrial sort of revolution and that. Isn't it? Well, not the industrial revolution, but you're getting towards it.
Mm. Okay. Well, I digress.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so the witch trials. They were around between the 16th and 18th century, and the cage was no different. In 1582, no less than 13 women were imprisoned awaiting trials for witchcraft. And they, apparently in local folklore, were quite famously known as the Witches of St. Osyth.
Ah, okay.
13 of them. I don't know all of their names.
Unlucky number 13.
Maybe that's why it's unlucky.
Mm.
Who knows?
Well,
I don't know all of their names. In fact, I only know one of their names.
Agatha.
No. But that's a good guess, because her name is quite an unusual name. For these days, anyway. I don't know if it was unusual at the time. Can you guess it? Can you have one more guess?
Is this the lead witch?
The most famous one out of the 13.
Okay. Mary.
No.
Hamilton.
Is that first or last name?
First.
No. No, her name was Ursula Kemp.
Ursula.
Oh, that popped, didn't it? My filter didn't do much good there.
Ursula, as in the one from Little Mermaid.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. Maybe that's where the Little Mermaid got the idea from, calling her Ursula.
Yeah, yeah.
And but Ursula was actually a midwife at St. Osyth.
Oh, okay.
And she was actually, for most of her life, considered a very good, upstanding citizen, a widely admired member of the community. She would not only deliver babies, but she would heal the sick and the needy. So she was actually quite a nice woman.
Don't tell me they've got being a general nurse and midwife confused with being a witch because she's using medicine to heal people.
No.
Okay,
well,
good.
This is the thing. This is kind of a grey area, really. Because it was actually kind of hard to get all the sources for the information. There's not a lot online to try and fill up a 40-minute episode here. So,
yeah, okay, fair enough.
It was kind of tough doing the research. But what I found out was that Ursula, not Mary, I was going to call her Mary then. Ursula, after a disagreement with one of the local families about her line of work, which, as we know, was a midwife and, you know, generally sort of nursing, rumours started to spread about witchcraft and her being a witch.
From a disagreement?
From a disagreement, yeah. I don't know whether she delivered their baby and they didn't like the way she did it or what, but it's pretty much only one way to... Well, back then there would have only been one way to deliver a baby. Mm. Nowadays you can, you know, or you come out through the sunroof if you've got a sharp enough knife, but back then it was push or don't push and die.
Well, fun fact, I had such a big head that I was delivered with two doctors and a pair of forceps. So there you go.
They had a pair of forceps big enough?
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. And enough. Two doctors.
So. And two doctors. Or what, one pulling on the other one's shoulders while he heaved?
Maybe they had a set, like a side of the forceps each.
Ah, okay.
All I know is my mother was in some pain and...
you must have tore her apart, mate.
My big old head.
I feel sorry for your mum.
So do I.
Anyway, where was I? Yes, a neighbour accused Ursula Kemp of healing a sick child by chanting incantations, using charms and magic spells to cure them of some unknown sickness. It didn't say. Well, I guess back then it wouldn't have been properly diagnosed anyway. It might have been smallpox. It might have been the plague. Who knows? But she managed to cure this child. And she was also accused of death by bewitchment when another rumour emerged after another local died. It was said that she had killed him with her incantations.
Right.
Now, okay. I think, you know, as we know, when rumours start spreading, people will just assign it to anything. Oh, that bloke died as well. It must have been the local witch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard her chanting in her house last night. Oh, yeah, that must have been it, because he died last night, you know.
You see it in society now, like one rumour, one thing gets out there, and all of a sudden... Was the expression is like innocent till proven guilty, but it's the other way around now, isn't it? It's like guilty until innocent.
Well, it was back then. You're guilty until you can actually prove yourself innocent, if you can prove yourself innocent.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was the way it went, particularly in the witch trials. It was like, because they always used to say that, like, the trials were so harsh in that, like, the old ducking stool and stuff like that, they'd strap a woman to a stool that was kind of on a pivot and lower her into a river or a pond or something. And basically, if she survived a couple of minutes under the water when they brought her back up, they'd kill her because they said the devil saved her life. And yet if she died, they'd say, oh, she was innocent because God has now taken her.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, well, you can't win.
Yeah, either way, you're dead.
So, yeah,
it's stupid.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. But, and this is how crazy it actually got. Because like we said, when rumours start spreading, these things happen. And like I said before, she managed to heal a sickly child, and there's no confirmation of exactly what was wrong with that child, what sickness they'd got. But during her child, an 8-year-old boy told the magistrate that she had confessed to him of being a witch.
Right, now, an eight-year-old boy with an imagination.
Well, you can just imagine how that went down, isn't it? How did you manage to heal my brother like that? I'm a witch. You know, just a little joke. She was probably thinking, well, that's the last time I'm making that joke to a kid. It definitely was the last time that she made that joke to a kid. Because that testimony sealed her fate, and as such, she was hanged as a witch.
Hanged? Not even burnt at the stake?
No, just string her up, hang her. But, I mean, how crazy is that?
Yeah.
An eight-year-old boy's testimony stands over a fully grown woman or, you know, anybody that, you know, upstanding member. Because she was an upstanding member of the community.
That's the crazier part. The fact that she's actually really good at helping and healing people. Even if she was a witch, she's clearly a good witch. So why wouldn't you keep her around to heal more sick children?
Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
It's like everyone was scared of witches back then. I don't get it.
No, I don't. Well, it's because of rumours like the other guy who died and then she was accused of killing him with her incantations. But it's like, if your job is delivering children, you know, healing the sick and the needy, you know, curing diseases and stuff like that, why would then you just take it upon yourself to go completely to the dark side and start killing your neighbours left, right and centre?
Yeah.
Even if you had the ability to do it by chanting incantations and whatnot.
Yeah.
Casting spells. I mean, yeah, surely just the nature, just a general nature would prevail and she would be seen as an element of goodness rather than, I mean, surely... it's just one of those things, isn't it? Witchcraft was so widely believed in back then, and people were so narrow-minded and had such a small view of life that anyone that was accused of being a witch couldn't possibly be good.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. It's just baffling to me. Though. Obviously, we weren't around back in those days, but I would love to know, like, how many... Well, we need to do an episode on witches and the trials of witches. Because if it is as simple as just like an eight-year-old boy saying, oh, she told me she was a witch, and then it was death.
Yeah.
That's so extreme.
Yeah. That little boy barely get off his potty has just condemned you.
Yeah. There was 13 in this
13
trial.
Women, yeah.
And I'm surprised it wasn't more.
At least three of them, I think, were hanged. I don't think I wrote it down, but I don't know what happened to the other 10. She was hung with two other women in Colchester.
Colchester?
Yeah, not far away.
Wow. I want to know why, because I'm, you know me, I'm a big fan of equality. Why were there no male witches? Why was it always women?
Because they would be warlocks.
How come we don't hear of like warlock trials and things?
Maybe you can do an episode on that.
On warlocks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose I could. I wonder how much information I'll find.
It is one of them things. I think because the witch trials, witches were generally seen to be women because women were the ones that would have these positions of helping people. You know, men were very much like, I'm going to build this and I'm going to farm the fields and I'm going to earn the money and that sort of thing. And women, being those motherly, caring figures and stuff, would have the almost detrimental jobs of looking after the sick, contracting illnesses themselves, and if you didn't contract that illness, oh, you're a witch.
More social aspect.
Yeah, the more social. Yeah, it's the caring sort of side of things. Whereas, you know, so... I think men were accused of being warlocks a lot less because they just generally had more hands-on jobs rather than just going around tending to people. Because you remember, even back then, doctors weren't actually necessarily all that knowledgeable. They were still working things out. They were still cutting people up, you know, stealing dead bodies and, you know, the body snatchers and whatnot, where they'd just do scientific experiments in the middle of the night with, you know, stolen dead bodies, trying to figure out exactly what was going on. There was no proper scientific research back then. So
yeah,
that's what more, I guess, was going on with the men. But anyway.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hello, I'm Kristen Meinzer, host of Health Matters, a Mayo Clinic podcast investigating topics big,
the influence of gravity,
and small,
brain-eating amoeba.
We talk about our health, bodies, and the world around us.
Get off the toilet, you're going to have hemorrhoids.
So join me in conversation with some Mayo Clinic experts as we strive for happier, healthier lives. Mayo Clinic's Health Matters, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.
She was held in the cage, because we are talking about the cage, remember, not witchcraft.
Yes. So and she was held in the cage before she was hung.
Yeah, before her trial, and then she was hung in Colchester. And the cage remained a jailhouse. And remember, this started in 1582. That's when Ursula Kemp was on trial. And it remained a jailhouse all the way up till 1908.
Okay. Yeah, that's still then, fairly recent.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how long it took, but by the 1970s, the cage had been transformed into a house.
Okay,
the developer ripped out all the old cells and turned them into like a living room and a kitchen. I'm not sure if the bathroom is upstairs or downstairs, I don't know. But they added a second floor, because it was originally just a single floor building, a small little stone building, and it's got two bedrooms upstairs now. In 2005, this is where we get into sort of the meat and bones of the story, really. Vanessa Mitchell, a young woman called Vanessa Mitchell, bought the property.
That sounds Essex.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
It does, yeah.
She's still around today. She still tells stories. She's quite open about her experiences in the house. On the outside of the house was a plaque saying about the cage and about the 1582 witch trials and how Ursula Kemp was there and got hanged and whatnot. Vanessa said that she remembers seeing the plaque on the outside of the building, not being scared of it, just being fascinated by the house. She said, "I remember being drawn to it." And this
being drawn to the house.
This point, I did actually manage to get one website where I can find her story.
So, did she live in it at the time, Vanessa?
Yeah, she moved in, she lived there for about 2 to 3 years. I think she was either pregnant when she moved in or became pregnant not long after. I don't know, but here on this website tells her pretty much her story. From her first day living there, she said that she saw apparitions walk through her room and heard ghostly growls. She was pushed over by spirits while pregnant. Several websites said that she'd been spanked on the bum by a ghost.
Cheeky ghost.
Yeah, cheeky. She saw objects fly around the kitchen. She was punched, bitten, thrown to the floor. Mysterious figures floated through her home and attacked her guests. And soon she had enough of it. After 3 years of hostile paranormal activity, Vanessa moved out, fearing for her and her young son's safety. And feeling forced out due to her encounters with paranormal activity, she actually went on to write a book, or co-wrote a book, called The Spirits of the Cage, with a man called Richard Eastep. He was a paranormal investigator from the UK. He now lives in the USA, but he's done quite a lot of books. I would say they're all available on Amazon. I tried to get the book Spirit of the Cage, but it was unavailable. I looked on his website, and to be honest, his website, I couldn't navigate it because like the navigation bar took up the entire screen on my phone, and I couldn't actually see what the actual bulk of the website is. I did email him, ask him if he would fancy giving us a testimonial on his experiences in the house, or you know, an interview or whatever like that. I didn't get a reply, so I don't know whether he just didn't read the email in time, or whether he's just busy or what. I don't know. But for whatever reason, I couldn't get hold of it. It was unavailable on Amazon, and I don't know where else you can get it because I couldn't find it for sale on Richard's website. But that was, she wrote the book. She co-wrote the book with him. So they're all, both of their personal testimonial stories are in that book if you want to know more about it. Reflecting on the decision to buy and move into the cage, Vanessa said that she had been struck by love blindness. She'd even visited the local vicar in St. Osyth to try and get some answers about the haunted nature of her home. And the vicar came round to see her, came round to bless the house.
You would think that would get rid of it.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Now it says here, the vicar walked in, he sat down in the front room, and they had a really long chat. He started getting his robe, he was all dressed up in his proper vicary robes, and he got his holy water out, his Bible, and Vanessa asked him, is this a common occurrence? And the vicar replied, I've actually been in lots of parishes, but I've never, since I've come to this parish in St. Osyth, have I had so many people coming to me in private and asking, can you come to my house to bless it? I've got a haunted house. And he said, I can tell you of at least four other houses up this very road that I have been into to bless.
Is blessing a house and exercising a house, are they different things? Are they pretty much the same thing?
I guess it's pretty much the same thing. Just trying to get rid of an evil spirit. Rather than like a possession, like a personal possession, that would be a proper like exorcism. That would be a completely different a thing, because I think you have to have like the blessing from the upper echelons of the Catholic Church. But if you've just got a haunted house and you want a priest to come round and do prayer readings and blessings and that sort of thing,
bit of sage.
It's more of a personal, private thing.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Sadly, the vicar's efforts did not do anything. At one point during her time in the cage, Vanessa said that she would hear voices telling her to end her own life.
Okay, that's pretty dark.
Pretty bad, isn't it? Turns out that a previous owner of the property had done exactly that in the cage some years prior.
Well, now you're just adding ghosts to the house.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing as well. Like, what I wanted to speculate is that although the cage is notorious and it's well known for Ursula Kemp, the witchcraft and the trials and that sort of thing from 1582, can you imagine that such a goodly soul,
a goodly fiend
yes, of the neighbourhood would be so evil and come back and haunt and punch a pregnant woman and knock her to the ground?
No,
it would be other people. Like, more likely, the drunken inmates that the jail was originally constructed for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's what I can imagine, anyway.
Because I imagine a lot of people back in those days, when they got drunk, they would probably want a fight for entertainment or something.
Yeah. You'd imagine they're all scruffy people with crooked teeth and virtually no clothes and just drunken nightmares. Mm. Yeah.
Pushing each other. You're a witch. No, you're a witch.
No, you're a warlock. What's one of those? I haven't heard that word yet. Not in my vocabulary. A vocabulary? What's that? Go back to school. Yeah. Anyway, in her book, Vanessa wrote, living inside the cage was grueling. The longest slog of my life. It drove me to the brink of exhaustion and a nervous breakdown. After she left the cage, she described the feeling as pure relief.
Is that what the priest did? The vicar?
He might have done, yeah. So in the years since, there have been a multitude of different residents. I'm not, because here's the thing. She bought the house in 2005, only lived there for 3 years. That puts it at 2008. Mm-hmm. She didn't actually sell it until 2019.
Well, that doesn't add up.
Now, whether it says that in the years since there have been a multitude of different residents, many not lasting long.
Oh, so maybe she was renting it out.
Okay. I know for quite a number of those years, she would quite happily use it for like paranormal investigations. There have been a lot of paranormal investigations. It was featured on, I think the program's called Help My House is Haunted.
Mm-hmm. They did the same thing with 30 East Drive, though, didn't they? They were ghost tours and
You can pay to go and visit the place. I don't know if you can these days, though.
Oh, I was going to say, that's kind of close to us.
In 2019, yeah, it's not far away. 2019, the cage went up for sale. In 2020, she accepted an offer for around about $300,000. And now imagine, like, this is what I say about it being quite an upmarket neighborhood. Mm-hmm. $300,000 for a little two-bedroom cottage. It's not much of a house. Mm-hmm. It's only small. A two-bedroom house, and from all the pictures that I've seen online of it, there's not really much of a garden or outside space. My three-bedroom detached house with a double driveway, a conservatory, and a massive garden with this studio in the back garden is only $270,000.
Must be nice.
Well, obviously, the area's not quite as outstanding natural beauty as Watson's author said, is it?
It does seem quite a lot for a two-bedroom run-down house.
Yeah, but I suppose maybe it's also the fame factor.
Mm, yeah, it would have had a reputation by that year.
Yeah, like the reputation definitely would have, you know, might have had an influence there. But the new owner, or at least the woman who bought the house from Vanessa, there's no name given, but it just described her as a female divorcee who doesn't believe in ghosts at all.
I reckon it's Zach Baggins in a wig. I reckon he's turned up. It could be, yeah. I'll buy it. I'll buy anything haunted.
Yeah, I'll put it in my museum. when selling the cage, the estate agent, or real estate agent, described it as one of the most notorious and well-documented haunted houses, 16th century cottages in Britain. Hmm. I would like to argue that it's not so well-documented because I had to go looking quite a lot to find the story of the cage to fill up the moment 35-minute episode.
And 5 minutes of that was on witches.
and probably the first 10 minutes was us talking about Patreons and whatnot, and your intro.
So it's not very well documented, but it's meant to be the most haunted
house.
One of
the most haunted houses, probably in Britain, definitely in Essex, or so they say. I'd originally planned to make this episode like a feature of like hauntings in southeast of England, only touch on it a little bit. But when I actually started getting into it, I thought I'd probably stretch this out enough to make it a decent episode. There is a fair amount of information here if you go looking in enough sources, and it is quite a cool story that on its own. So there may be more episodes coming up of other hauntings in southeast England that were already on the list for this episode that I didn't get around to covering. But I thought, doesn't matter, we'll make it a slightly shorter episode than usual. But
do we know if that woman is still living in that house?
I don't know. Interesting. You can, is it Zoopla or Rightmove? You can go back and find all the times it's been sold and how much it's been sold for over the last several years or whatever. I don't want to embarrass people that live there or have lived there or anything, so I don't want to expose.
It's just interesting. I always find if someone goes in and says like, I don't believe in this and believe in that, they're probably all right
sometimes.
Some people are more susceptible to it, aren't they?
Some people are, but again, I always wonder. All right, this woman was described as a female divorcee who doesn't believe in ghosts. How long do you think she was in there before she started believing ghosts?
Yeah,
because you were the same. You were the same. You when you moved house recently, you were like, well, nah, I don't think I've never seen anything. I've never got any evidence. I'm on the fence about all these things. Like, and even for 2 weeks after you'd moved into the house, you were like, nah, I can explain that. I can explain that. Scientific. Until you started hearing people walking down the stairs and glasses rattling in your kitchen.
It still
and stuff,
only but... happened once.
So, and how many times has your wife woken you up in the middle of the night and had got you to go and search the house because she thinks that there's someone downstairs?
Twice. It's happened twice. But yeah, it's fine. It's not haunted. It's all right.
You're still sticking by your guns?
Yeah. It's still not haunted. That's okay. All right.
I think you're coming round.
I refuse to believe that my house is haunted. Weird things have happened. Have I cacked my pants a few times? Yes. But it doesn't mean it's haunted. Sometimes when I'm home alone, am I looking over my shoulder in the darkness? Yes. Do I have to turn a light on every room I go in? Yes. But it doesn't mean it's haunted.
No, it's just your own paranoia, I guess, isn't it?
Well, I've always been a bit like, ooh, with things, if you know what I mean. If I can't explain it, I always just ignore it. So I'm at that stage where I'm just kind of like, I acknowledge it and then I ignore it. I just move on. It doesn't happen that often, so...
Well, okay, well, enough about your house. Let's focus on the house in question, the cage, St. Osyth. What are you going to give it?
Mm. Well, I wish there was more documentation on it. So, I don't know. We've only got... Really, we've got a bit of history, which is cool. We've only got that one person. Is it Kate? I can't remember. Vanessa Mitchell.
I honestly wish that I could have got hold of the book that she wrote with Richard Estep, because I would have loved to have actually been able to read more of their first-hand experiences. If you do have the book, please let us know which favourite stories from the book of your own you can transmit to us. Mm. Let us know. If you can get hold of the book, let us know, because I'd still love to read it, but it was unavailable when I tried. It's a shame, because I would have loved to have found out some more stories to bring to the table and bring to the podcast.
I would like to hear a few more stories of the cage.
But from several websites that I went through, a lot of them, particularly that with her being slapped on the bum, that came up several times, you know, her being punched while she was pregnant and knocked to the ground and, you know, sort of fearing for her life. The actual physical violence was brought against this woman in her own home by an unseen force, which is always quite scary.
I will give it, off the top of my head, 7.2, I would say. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I feel like 30 East Drive is actually like, it gave me the heebie-jeebs. There was a lot more to go with it. So I can't even remember what we gave 30 East Drive, but it was quite high. So,
it was 9 point something, I think. I can't remember.
Yeah, and that was a lot of scariness going on, a lot of stories and stuff. Just based off of that one story and the bit of history, which is cool and fascinating, I feel like I can't go into the eights. Does that make sense? Like,
okay,
I feel like I need a bit more, like, just more stories from it. Like, I'd like to know more about the case. Obviously, we need the book, but, yeah, well, when I'm going to compare it to others.
A little bit higher than that. I'd like you, I'm not sure if... I'd probably give it an 8 flat.
Okay.
Because I think that there's got to be something to it for one thing, for a woman to actually be forced out of her house after 3 years of living there, but to rent it out to other people, you know, going, I don't want to live there myself, but, you know, you can lock yourself out. Yeah, go ahead. You take the place. You know, and her reason for moving out was the paranormal activity. Like I say, it is documented on television There have been TV programs of people doing paranormal activities there. I haven't actually watched the episode. I did look it up on IMDb, and the synopsis was about the cage in St. Osyth, and it says the team here encounters real malevolence. So I can only imagine that it was a good episode. I couldn't find it to stream it anywhere. You can only find it like on Really or Blaze or, you know, one of these weird TV channels at a certain time, and you've got to, you got to know when it's going to come on. And it wasn't on at any time prior to me doing this episode, so I haven't been able to watch that. I am interested though. But yeah, any house that forces out its owner from occupancy, I think, is worthy of a little bit more, particularly when you've had so many paranormal investigations going on there. And I think it's only due to my own inability to find concrete evidence you know, more of a story to actually nail it down that I haven't got your rating up there. So I'm going to give it 8, and I probably would go up to a 9 if I was able to find that, you know, that book and watch the episode and that sort of thing. Because like on Discord, I mentioned on our Discord that Keith had recommended the cage from St. Osyth, and another guy on our Discord, Rogue Pest, he was like, yeah, good shout, and he pointed me in the direction of the book.
Okay, so it has got a reputation.
Yeah. I think a lot of people know about the house, and in fact, I'm going to give it 8.4.
8.4.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 8.4, mostly on its reputation.
Well, I haven't closed the door on the cage. I would like to know more, but just based off of what I've got, I didn't get any goosebumps or anything, you know. So that's what I'm looking for when it comes to like ghost stories and stuff. So no, I'm going to stick with 7.2. I'm not going to work out the average.
Crikey! What did I?
7.2 and 8.4.
Oh, I'm going to have to get my calculator out for that one.
7.8, surely.
It might be, or it might be 7.6 plus 8.4 divided by 2 equals. No, that's wrong. It's not 11.4. 7.2 plus 8.4 divided by 2 equals. Saying 11.4, why?
Even the calculator is like, your scale makes no sense.
The calculator's haunted. So it's 7 point something. So, yes.
7 point something? Yeah. That'll do.
It would be 7.8, wouldn't it?
I think so.
It's 0.6 between either side. So, 7.8, Not 11.4.
No. I think 7.8 is fair.
7.8 is fair, yeah. I think it's good. Good score.
Yeah. The cage. Give me some more.
Yeah. And if you would like to recommend an episode for yourself, you can do so. You can write to paranormality.uk@gmail.com. Mm. If you really want us to do an episode, you can become a Patreon on, I don't know, patreon.com/paranormality. I don't actually know what the address is for that. But there will be a link in the description. There always is. And if you're a fan of the show and you want to present your own or suggest an episode, then there are channels that you can do We do listen to our listeners, and we do like to try and satisfy the people who've made this podcast what it is.
I'm actually going to set a challenge. Can someone find me something to research that is out there that is bizarre? Because I feel like we covered the shaft.
Be careful.
We've covered certain things that I feel like, oh, no one's really heard of that. That's pretty out there. I wonder if there's someone out there that's like, there's this thing. I can guarantee Josh and Pirate have never heard of it. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
I'm just issuing the challenge. Try and surprise me.
Fair enough, Yeah, surprise Josh.
Yeah. It could be anything. Spooky, conspiracy theory, whatever. Surprise me. That's my challenge. I'm throwing it down.
There you go.
Are you picking up what I'm throwing down?
It's too heavy, man.
It's too heavy. Too much of a challenge.
Anyway, thank you for listening, everybody. Until next time, I have been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta!
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.